Welcome to Eastlake. I'm Robin. We call this the church for everyone. But life can get like that. It can get overwhelming. It just seems like the details are cascading down my relationship, my job. Even when it comes to being with Jesus, it can get way too complicated. I can be trying to check the religious box or the morals box or the, you know, God, how do you feel about me today box? And it can just get more about doing things than being with God. We're just going to like simplify it today. Like if you were to just bring it all down to a sentence, it's the big idea. Grab your notes. It's just one sentence. Jesus cares about, fill it in. If you were going to say, someone said, boil it all down to me when it comes to having a relationship with God. Jesus cares about how your life turns out. And here's the thing about that is that it doesn't sort of matter what your life is like right now. That's the whole point of the big idea. It's not about having your life good, bad, or indifferent. It doesn't matter what it looks like. He cares. That's the simple thing. Jesus cares. He's not done with me. He brought you here today to tell you, regardless of what the details are, he cares. Jesus does. Now, we're going to read a story today. I'm going to read out of the Bible, but it's in your notes, and it's about some people that they sort of get a firsthand glimpse of what's this like. Look here in the Bible, and I'm going to read it. You look in your notes. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. So Jesus is on this side of the lake. He says, let's go over to that side of the lake. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in a boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. And then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. Circle that. The wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Let me ask you this question. When is the last time you got caught off guard? Big or small? He just got completely off guard. It was my birthday this last week. I turned 57. And I was at work, and this young girl came up to me. She's about 20 years old. She works there. And she said, hey, I heard it's your birthday. I said, yeah, it's my birthday. She goes, how old are you? I said, I'm 57. She goes, wow, really? Now, I don't know if you've ever had an opportunity to brace yourself for a compliment that you know is coming. Because just by the way she said it, you know, she's like, whoa, really? Really? So I'm like waiting to hear the number, you know, and she says, I thought you were 53. And I'm like, you know, I didn't know how to respond. You know, when you get caught off guard, you're not sure how to respond. I'm like, oh, you gave me a whole 4 years, you know, whoop-de-doo. I mean, you know, it's like, I don't know how to respond to that. And anything happened in your life recently? Maybe it's small, maybe it's big. Caught you completely off guard. That's the guys in this story. Completely off guard. You know, they're fishermen, most of the guys on this boat, and they grew up at this lake. Commercial fishermen. They know all about this lake. They know tons about boats. They know how to get through storms. They know all about water and weather and everything. And all of a sudden, something hits them so quick from left field. It's way beyond their experience and their talents. It's bigger than how they know how to do things or they've done it before. Completely from left field, they get hit by something. I had a lot of people in the military, and all of a sudden their orders get changed. Totally from left field. Something happens at work. I thought I was going to get a demotion. I didn't get it. And now I got a promotion. Like, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this? And the bill comes in, whatever it is. Something physical happens. You get hit by something completely unexpected, quickly, and it's more than you've experienced before. You're not sure how to do it. That's this story. And stuff gets pretty complex. Jesus in this story is in a pretty complex place too. He's trying to get a little vacation. He's trying to take a 3-day. He's going to go on a boat ride and get away from some people. He's had another rough encounter with his family. Just prior to this story, Jesus is having another difficult conversation with his mom. And his mom are talking about his life. And Jesus had made some changes. He's 30 years old, and he decides to attend another church. He starts hanging around with some different people, and his life is going in a completely different direction. He's been a carpenter. He's the oldest sibling in the family. He's kind of been the breadwinner, and you know, everything in the family is kind of sailing along, and then Jesus starts this ministry. He's like, I'm not going to go to the same church we went to all the time. There's some different things I want to tell people about God. He starts telling people about grace. He comes from a culture that believes you have to earn God's love and forgiveness. You have to be found worthy. That's what everybody believes that goes to church. Just, so years gone by, they've just sort of bought more and more into legalism. And like, it's more about how I perform in my character than what God does for me in his character. And they get turned around in this. And Jesus, he just completely throws the door open. And he says, God loves you just how you are. He wants to forgive you. He wants to be a part of your life. And these crowds start coming. And there's rumors that he can heal people. And his mom is like, what is going on? You ever had anything with your family where you took a new direction? And your family's like, wait a minute. You know, or maybe at first when you told them what you were going to do, they're like, oh, that sounds really good, honey. And then when you actually start to do it, they start to, you know, I don't like this, and I'm uncomfortable, and they want everything to go back to just how it was. How many people, you remember maybe at some time of your life you told your parents you were moving out of state, and they're like, you know, come out of him, Satan. You know, they're just like, they don't hate it, you know. It's just like, Jesus has come from a difficult conversation with his mom and his brothers and sisters. They go to Jesus and they stop your ministry. Stop telling people that that's what God is like. These crowds are scaring us. What is this thing about you healed some blind man? There's a lot of chaos in the air. There's a lot of confusion. There's tons of details that nobody knows what to do about them. And Jesus decides to pull back. He gets his friends together and says, listen, you know, let's go over the other side of the lake and get a break. He must trust these guys because he falls asleep in the back of the boat. They just start up, you know. Maybe you got a girlfriend or a wife, and it's like the minute you get in the car, you go 1 mile, you look over there asleep. Like, how does that happen? It's like 2:30 in the afternoon, you know. It's like, just, they're gone, you know. Immediately, Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat. And his friends, these disciples, you know, they're out in the middle of the lake, and they're going, and they're going, and they're going, and all of a sudden, this storm comes up, and they've been in storms before, so they probably initially think, don't wake him up. His mom was yelling at him, you know, just shh, let him sleep, you know. It's just like, and the storm gets worse and worse and worse, and now the boat is taking on water, and they're bailing water out of the boat. They're bailing out of it, and they wait till the last possible moment to go tell Jesus. I mean, big storm. Obviously, the boat is sinking, and they still have not gone to wake him up. I wonder what they're thinking. Do you ever wonder if Jesus is paying attention to your life? I'm going through things, God. I got a new job. It's not going so well. I don't know if I'm going to make it. I live in a new state. I'm pregnant. I got a bill I can't handle. You know, I haven't actually gone and prayed or talked to him, but I'm sort of like having a conversation with God, but not actually talking to God. Do you ever do that? You like in your brain, you're like, come on, God. Do you see what's going on here? How about a little help here? But you're not actually talking to him. Because what you're really wondering is, does he even care what I'm going through? What are you waiting to talk to God about? You haven't gone yet? Why don't they go? You know, they come from a really religious background, and so maybe they're thinking, maybe, you know how it is sometimes, it's like people get church and God all mixed up. They think that God is just like church. Not, you know, but in their mind, maybe they've gone to talk to a pastor or a bishop or a church leader or some religious leader or whoever, Cub Scout guy, whatever, and they went to, you know, try to talk to him and explain their problems, and they got scolded. And so maybe they see Jesus in the back, and they're thinking, I want to go wake him up, I want to, but maybe just like a flashback, I don't do that. Last time I told some church leader what was going on in my life, they yelled at me. Question. Have you ever made a move towards God, but it was to a person in a church or a church service, and after you left, you wish you hadn't? Because you felt worse about yourself. That just stays with you. Like, nah, I don't, maybe I better just. Maybe they think they're going to get a lecture. Some people, you know, you tell your parents, I mean, you take that first chance. I'm a little tight on money, you know, I can't make the rent. Or, you never have been able to manage your money like your older sister. Why can't you be like her? She's got money coming out of her ears. You never have a dime. And that teaches you, don't go ask anybody in authority, a parent or a boss for help, because they're just going to make you feel bad. They're going to scold you first. And if they do help you, it'll come with a cost. And we take that stuff before God. We think God's going to treat us that way. I'll put myself out there a little bit. Here's mine. It's not in the story, but here's mine. I have reoccurring sins and habits that I struggle with. I really want to see them change. Sometimes I get a handle on it, and then it'll come back on me. I have a hard time asking God to forgive me for something that he forgave me before last time. I have the most difficult time with that. I see him as a savings account that you could actually take all the money out. You know, it's like I don't be like this, but I'm just putting my cards out there. Like there's sometimes I don't want to go to God because I'm like, I've gone to him so many times and asked him to forgive me for this. He's got to be sick of it by now. When is God going to say to me, hey, listen, you know what? I told, like, this is the last time. Don't come back again. And I know he's not like that. But somehow in my life, I characterize him that way sometimes. The love is going to run out. The forgiveness is going to run out. At some point, God is just going to get fed up with me. So I don't want to go talk to him because I've talked to him about this before. Last time I told him I would never do it again. And that was just yesterday. And so I don't want to go again to him because I'm afraid. Maybe this will be the time. What's keeping you from going to God? And I'm asking you to really think about it. This is a practical church. We talk about real life and we really process things. It's not just information. It's like, what is it really? Like there's something going on in your life. It's a storm. Maybe it's come unexpected. And you'd like to talk to God about it, but you haven't. What's keeping it from occurring in your life? Now, the feeling is don't wait. Like them, they're bailing the water out of it. They're just getting more and more. And you know, don't wait until the last minute. A furious squall comes up. The waves broke over the boat, so it was nearly swamped. I just want to let you know something. God doesn't want to see you nearly swamped. He says, the minute you catch glimpse of a cloud in the sky, run over to me and talk about it. But they don't. Now the next thing, number two in your notes, don't write the wrong ending. Boy, and this is where I go. Don't write the wrong ending. Now let's read the ending first. Again, here it is right here. Jesus, he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. So that's the end of the story, okay? And I don't know what you believe about the universe or how it came into being or anything, but just think about this in this story. The creator, if you ever wondered if there's a creator, the creator speaks to the wind, and it obeys. I mean, can you imagine? He says to the waves, the creator speaks to creation. And creation listens and obeys. Now, the amazing thing about this story is it shows God's character. If you've been wondering about how God feels about you, I mean, think about this. This is the end of the story. This is how Jesus responds. This is what he does for them. But think about this. Well, let me ask you this question. How would you feel if you were Jesus and you got blamed for what was happening? They come to Jesus and they say, don't you care if we drown? Don't you care about us? Now, they're not asking a real question. It's like, you know, at home, like when I don't clean the kitchen and my wife says, you know, have you cleaned the kitchen? It's not a question. That's an accusation. Have you ever had anybody, they ask you a question, you know, are you ever going to get your life together when it comes to your finances? They're not asking a question. They're making an accusation. How long do you think you're actually going to live out there? Do you think you can really move to another state? Not a question. What they're really saying is, you're an idiot. You're going to crash and burn and have to call me for money to come home. Did your boss ever do that? Did your parents ever do it? They ask a question, but they're really making an accusation. The disciples come to Jesus, and they're not saying, hey, I don't know if it's occurred to you, but does it bother you that we might drown? No. Jesus, don't you care? And blaming. Boy, and I know what it means. When my circumstances are bad at work, the sales slow up, I can't sell anything, and, you know, my circumstances get bad with my health or my marriage or wherever. I tend to see God's care based on the quality of my circumstances. Do you? When my circumstances are great, he's a loving God. When my circumstances are bad, don't you care? Are you watching? Do you see what's happening in my marriage? Do you see what's going on in my life? I start to blame. I do this to people too, unfortunately. Something goes bad and I start to, you know, blame the people around me. It's like I want to get some distance from it. I want to make it about anything other than me. Are you blaming anybody in your life for your circumstances? Or even more, blaming God about anything? And here's the cool part. Can you see God responding like Jesus responds here? When someone blames you for something that's not your fault, how do you respond? But look at the Lord. Jesus, don't you care? And he stands up. He doesn't even say he's God. He proves it. Are you giving Jesus a chance to prove that he's God? That's all he asks. You don't have to prove it or defend him. Are you like, circumstances are crazy. The storm hit me. And I told you guys, we went through that series starting over, How to Release Your Regrets. And right in the middle of it, after 10 years, my real father calls me. I've had so many great people enter my life. I have a foster family. I had a dad there that was awesome. I had coaches. I mean, I have been a person throughout my life that God has provided people for me. And so even though I didn't have my real dad in my life, I had provision. And so we talked about that in that series. That one of the ways you don't deal with your regrets is you just say they don't matter. So all my life, when anybody's ever brought up dad or anything, I just, doesn't matter. And then in the middle of that series, you know, God comes into my life. You know, somebody emails me and says, your birthday's coming up and your dad would like to contact you. I'm like, it doesn't matter. Of course, we're in the middle of a series on regrets. And, you know, my wife is so awesome. She's sort of straightforward and blunt. She says, don't you think God's trying to do something in the middle of your life? We're in a series on regrets and your dad's contacted you after 10 years. You know, and so sweet and gentle. And so he sent me his phone number. He wants me to call him up, you know. And so I'm trying to set my feet week, you know. I'm like, I got a whole week. I'm gonna call him up, and I'm trying to get ready for this thing. And I'm trying to think what I'm going to say. I'm trying to get ready. You know, I want to do a good job. And like, you know, he's probably filled with some regrets. And I want to do something. My phone rings at work on my birthday. Talk about a storm coming from nowhere. I've just had someone bless me with saying that I look 4 years younger. Whoop-de-doo. And then my phone rings, and I didn't recognize the number. I thought, well, I better answer. I pick it up. Hi, this is Robin. Hi, Robin, this is your dad. You talk about a pregnant pause. I'm just like, here's the interesting thing, though, about it, is I had been praying and preparing, and when that happened, almost immediately, I stopped, and even as he was on the phone, I was able to say a prayer in my heart, here we go, God. I didn't wait. I've come to see Jesus as someone that will speak to the waves and the wind. If I let him, he'll prove he's God. No matter how big the storm is, no matter how fast it comes upon me. 10 years of resentment and 10 years of stay out of my life and all of that, just in a moment, he's on the other end of the phone. And in a moment, I was able to go to the back of the boat. Jesus, help, I'm here, let's do it. And it was a pretty interesting conversation. 10 years ago, I had my dad's number and I called him, and I unfortunately caught him at the bar drunk. And he picked up the phone and I said the wrong thing to him, and he just gave me a tongue lashing and hung up on me. How about that, your last memory? So, you know, we start talking. Do you know, just a few minutes into the conversation, this is awesome. I'm not saying it always turns out this way, but a lot of times it does. The winds do die down, and the sea does get quiet, and the lake is still as glass. My dad said, you know, before we go any further, I want to tell you something. When we talked, I was in a bar, and I was drunk. I should have been drinking Coke, but I was drinking alcohol. And I am so sorry for what I said. I really am. I shouldn't have said that stuff to you. It's always bothered me. And it was like you could feel he got a chance to get it out, and I got a chance to receive it and just blow it out the back end. In a moment, all of a sudden, well, boy, when Jesus stands up and just says to the wind, stop, says to the waves, be still. And what's going on in your life, and you've been waiting to talk to God, and you've got your reasons, you haven't gone to him yet? Don't wait till the last minute. What's going on in your life, and you've written the wrong ending? I mean, I would have never written the ending that on my birthday, my dad would call me and apologize for the drunken stuff he said to me 10 years. I would have never, ever written that ending. Of course, if I saw Jesus stand up in a boat that day, I may have not said to myself, you know what, there's the guy that can stop the wind and the waves. And yet he can. Now here's the bottom line. Here's how we keep it simple. Here's the bottom line. Here's how we keep it simple. Jesus cares about us. Don't let it get any more complex than that. Don't put a lot of religious layers on top of it and ethical, political, moral stuff on top. Don't turn it into a church thing or a religious thing or a Christian thing or a Joe Schmo thing. Just don't. Just keep it right there. When the winds come up, when the boat is sinking, when the family's whatever, just keep coming back. North on my compasses, you care about me. Here's what the Bible says. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he'll lift you up in honor. Is that awesome? Give all your worries and cares to God. Circle it. For he cares about you. And here's what the result is. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, I understand if any of us would have been in the back of that boat sleeping on a cushion, we did not have what it takes to speak to the wind and waves. But Jesus does. Keep it right there. You care about me and you give me the strength.